Ficta Inferno is explicit in every way.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, I have a bean just bonking my toes and giving them mini cheeky rubs.
Eddie and Nim are snuggling.
Oh, he's not sitting on her for once?
I mean, they've done this, like, they've kind of done it before, but not like this. They each have, like, an arm wrapped around each other, and it's so cute. I can't take a picture of it because I'm using my phone to record, but I wish I could.
Yeah, I shut the door for the most part, and then, of course, Barry pushed it open with his face.
Yeah, they go.
Yeah? You?
Eddie and Nim are, like, they're just so cute right now. I can't get over it. They're a better love story than Twilight.
Hi.
But
hi.
Again, apologies for the
ouch, sorry. Sharp.
For the inconsistencies. It's just been crazy, and it gets crazier with the oncoming holiday season. We really just need to bang out a schedule, but probably it looks like until we kind of can get things under rein, it looks like a kind of every other week situation now.
Yeah, I mean, we're not supposed to get truck on the weekends, but we didn't figure out until Monday that we were getting truck on the weekend.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so, and it's, oh, for heaven's sakes, Nate is calling me right now. He's just gonna have to wait.
He's gonna have to wait while you suffer.
Oops.
So, yeah.
But yeah, we're not supposed to get truck on the weekend, and apparently that's just when they decided to bring it, and for the holidays we're getting, like, I don't know, 2,000 pieces, which is a lot, you know, per one truck.
Oh yeah, no, that is a lot.
Oh, now I have the other cat. Hello?
All of them are in there. I'm only missing Booker in here. I don't have the court of cats this evening. I had them earlier this week in the morning, but not this evening.
Yeah. Is other parent not home yet?
So, I don't know if we've talked about it extensively on the podcast, but we have talked about it with each other about reading more mainstream books that a lot of people either consider really good or they consider them really bad.
Yes.
And you mentioned Colleen Hoover.
Yes.
And the thing is, like, because of where I work, which is a bookstore, which I'm not going to name, we legitimately have a table that is dedicated to Colleen Hoover.
Yeah, you'd said that.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like we have a lot of people that come by on a daily basis that, like, whenever I'm at the register, I either see a few people pick up a few, like, one or two of her books in each transaction. And to back up your claim on her writing not being the best, I was on Book Talk at one point, and someone did mention, like, her writing is just like, what is the most shocking thing I can write in this moment and put it in there and kind of have that be that.
And it was, like, it was actually something my coworker was talking about with me, because I was talking about, you know, doing the podcast, and we were just doing whatever, and he was like, have you read this? And this is what aggravated me. And I'm like, no, I haven't even heard of these in my life.
Yeah, I didn't hear about these until I started working in a bookstore. But then I did pick up like one of the back covers of it, and I did read the particular book that was mentioned, Verity. And I'm like, let's do it because it sounds like it's going to.
He said it was really predictable. Now, I haven't read the summary or anything, but I think I like grazed it when he was talking about it, but obviously, you know, I couldn't read the whole thing.
I was gonna say the basis is like Verity is the name of an author who's like, I think she's like, I don't know what it is she's succumbing to, but I think she's like slowly losing her memories. Main character is a caretaker hired by the husband, and the caretaker uncovers like memoirs from Verity that Verity doesn't remember writing. And of course, something eventually stirs up between the husband and the caretaker.
Ah, yes.
Which is a little weird, but that's neither here nor there. And of course, I wanted to mention, like, well, also, I like, again, on Book Talk, in that same like thing where it was like mentioning like stories that they didn't want to, like they weren't going to read, like that either A, they were tricked into reading because of Book Talk and they didn't like or something like that. One of them was Zodiac Academy.
Is that by the same person? That sounds familiar.
It's not by Colleen Hoover. It's by someone else. I don't know who it's by.
It sounds familiar. That's why I was so confused, because I was like, I feel like I've seen that somewhere.
It's places, and what this person said was that people will tell you how much they love Zodiac Academy, but they cannot tell you what it's about.
Oh.
So I'm like, when you put the two words together, Zodiac and Academy, I'm like, what is this about? Like, even the title is like, what is this about? Like, even here's the thing that I will give to, like, the basis of anything is like, okay, you can at least tell, like, it's going to be about some sort of academia, possibly, because Academy's in the title.
Yeah.
But what's up with the Zodiac? It's not the Zodiac Killer. It's nothing associated with that. It's the actual, like, astrology Zodiac.
That's what one half of my brain went to, and then the other half went to the killer.
One half of my brain always goes to the killer for some reason, but it's like, no, it's the actual astrology Zodiac. But for the most part, I will give every other book title credit where it's like, it, like, at least with Verity, it gives you a sense of like, oh, Verity means something in here. And it does, because it immediately tells you on the back that Verity is the name of an author in the book. Or if you're reading, or if you're looking at Agatha Christie's titles, Death on the Nile, it tells you right there, someone's gonna die on the Nile.
Oh my god, spoilers.
Murder on the Orient Express.
You're telling me there's a murder on this express?
Exactly.
That's not very express.
Or other books I have in my room, right? Okay, actually, I did pick up this one book called Horror Store. It is basically a horror story about, like, it's not actually IKEA, but it's basically a store based off of IKEA.
Oh, it is a horror story
based off of an IKEA store.
You know what? There's a video game like that.
There's always
been. And I was going to send it to you, the screenshots of it.
There's always.
But it's like under a bunch of legal fire from like actual IKEA.
Not surprised if they use.
Even though like
IKEA
the
stuff.
Store in the game isn't IKEA. It's just like an IKEA-esque store.
That's the thing with this book. It literally like it's like it's not IKEA, but you know it's based off of IKEA.
I mean, if IKEA wasn't such, you know, a gigantic space, well, like being the most winding, and
well, the thing is, IKEA itself is like, I don't know. I've heard the jokes where it's like some people are like IKEA itself is like an SCP.
It is.
It's like, it is a terrifying place to be. It's not normal.
I wouldn't want to be in there by myself, you know, like when it was opening or as one of the workers there, like in opening or closing time.
Oh yeah. Another person I follow on TikTok, she's a witch, and she was like, my human friends took me to IKEA. And it was kind of like one of the best videos that I think I had ever watched. And yeah, no, it's great, but we should totally get into this book. I am
Yeah.
delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, me too.
All I can say is that maybe in a few, well, like, maybe in 2020, in the summer of 2024, we'll have another vampire named Eddie.
Oh,
Maybe.
God.
Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
It's one of those fan theories. Please don't be dead.
It just
Definitely.
reminds me of that, of the interview that Sebastian Stan did at the end of Infinity War. Was, Bucky's dead. Happy New Year. Like, that's all I can keep thinking about.
Rocky's dead. Not.
Surprise, bitch.
But I really hope that Eddie Munson isn't dead. I'll keep saying that. God, and I have to wait for 2024. Fuck. Did you start last time or?
Remember.
You know what? I'll just start this time. Chapter three, phenomenon.
Oh
Phenomena,
shit.
phenomenon.
I thought we were on four.
We're on chapter three.
Oh God.
Chapter three. Oh, I know what chapter this is. I
Oh yeah,
know
this one.
Phenomena.
Do 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 do.
When I opened my eyes in the morning, something was different. It was the light. It was still the gray-green light of a cloudy day in the forest, but it was clearer somehow. I realized there was no fog veiling my window. We were no longer in Silent Hill. I jumped up to look outside and then groaned in horror. A fine layer of snow covered the yard, dusted the top of my truck, and whitened the road. Like, you know, those Crest teeth whiteners.
Yes.
That wasn't the worst part. All the rain from yesterday had frozen solid, coating the needles on the trees in fantastic, gorgeous patterns and making the driveway a deadly ice slick. Sounds like an average day in Minnesota to me.
Honestly, right? I'm just like, ah, yeah, that's mildly inconvenient.
Yes. Minnesota mornings. Welcome. I had enough trouble not falling down when the ground was dry. It might be safer for me to go back to bed now. I mean, that's also a same thought, but for many different reasons.
Yeah.
Charlie had left for work before I got downstairs. In a lot of ways, living with Charlie was like having my own place. And I found myself reveling in the aloneness instead of being lonely. Solitude. Solitude is the word you're looking for. Not aloneness, solitude.
No.
If you're going to use big words properly. I'm reaching for my drink.
I was just really like, damn, I hope her car starts because that's just also such a Minnesota thing.
Oh, we know her car starts.
Yeah, because it's, you know, not cold enough to nerf her battery like it is in Minnesota.
Oh, do you not remember this part of the book?
I do remember this part of the book.
Okay. It's iconic, man.
I know it is, but that was the first thing my thought my brain went to when she was talking about
Yeah.
the ice.
Oh, yeah. Does he get that cold on the east on I mean
I
on the
don't
west
think it
coast?
does.
I
I
threw
don't think
down
it does, so.
a quick bowl of cereal and some orange juice and then cursed to myself because I realized I had brushed my teeth before coming downstairs.
Oh
from
She
the cart.
put the orange juice in the cereal.
Yeah.
Not milk. Just
they actually concentrate did make a cereal that you could put orange juice in.
I feel
Yeah.
like I'm interested in it, but I'm not overly fond of orange juice.
It's nothing to write home about.
Okay. Oh, did you try it?
No, I've
Oh.
seen a review on it. I don't know where
Well,
to get my hands on it.
sometimes Merc just gets really into orange juice for like a week or two. So. That's what type of house we live in here.
Yep. I felt excited to go to school, and that scared me, said no one ever. I knew it wasn't the stimulating learning environment I was anticipating or seeing my new set of friends. Wow.
Jeez.
If I was being honest with myself, I knew I was eager to get to school because I would see Edward Cullen. And that
Sad.
was very, very stupid. At least you admit it to yourself.
That's true.
I should be avoiding him entirely after my brainless and embarrassing babbling yesterday.
Yeah, you did just trauma dump the poor guy.
A little, but at the same time, it's like Bella, I swear he probably does not give a shit. He was probably just staring at you with like no thoughts behind those eyes, elevator music going blasting 24/7.
He was just probably thinking about whatever random things guys think about.
I wonder how I wonder how many Hot Wheels I can take with me on the trip tomorrow.
Yes. I mean, usually I too am wondering how many Hot Wheels I can take with us on the trip tomorrow.
If they call oranges oranges, why don't they call bananas yellows?
Yeah, generally we just need to worry. We need to stop worrying about what guys are thinking about when girls think they're thinking about other girls, because odds are they're thinking about the farthest thing away from another girl.
Now I'm just thinking about Ed from Ed and Eddie, and he literally in his brain at one point he was just thinking about buttered toast.
Yeah, that honestly sounds about right.
And that's how Eddie, my cat, got one of his new nicknames now, which is Ed Boy. He's one of the Ed Boys now,
Yeah, being.
courtesy of my mom. The one who didn't want him initially, now she has given him the nickname.
She also gave him the name.
That's true. She couldn't remember what I was calling him initially. So she just called him Eddie at 4 in the morning.
It works.
It works.
Yeah, being.
I was suspicious of him. Why were you suspicious? Why should he lie about his eyes? Why are you thinking about his eyes? I was still, you know what? I'm trying to think of like, would I be that suspicious of somebody's eyes? What I notice, I feel like I'd be too wrapped up in my own little world of conflict and shit. And shit.
I didn't notice that, once I'm
Yeah.
not looking directly at them.
Honestly, I probably would have thought, oh man, does he have jaundice or something?
Oh, right? But he's so pale that it's like, are you like all right? Like, that feels like it should be a condition.
Do you? I mean, he probably could make up a condition and get it backed up by Carlisle. There we go.
Exactly. Idiot.
I was still frightened of the hostility I sometimes felt emanating from him, and I was still tongue-tied whenever I pictured his perfect face. I was well aware that my league and his league were spheres that did not touch,
Ooh,
so
I
I
know that
shouldn't.
feeling all too well.
Fucking bite me. So I shouldn't be at all anxious to see him today. Again, okay, in this weird way, it's like the Cullens are so popular, they're like untouchables.
Yeah.
They're so popular that they are untouchable. To the point of they are the outlier.
Way to really stay under the radar, you guys.
Isn't that weird?
You're doing great.
I mean, couldn't they slap some self-bronzer on themselves or something to make them look not as... Well, no, then they'd stick out more because then they'd be, like, a little bit more tan. But then again, that might make them look more, like, pinkish, flushed, maybe?
I feel like they just, you know, need to ugly themselves up a little bit.
Yeah, maybe, like... Well, apparently their hair doesn't grow back if something gets ripped out, so one of them just needs to...
Interesting.
This is coming from Stephanie Meyer herself. So, all I'm hearing is someone needs to shave their hair. Oh my god. Okay, no, Twilight Talks on TikTok said that they have wigs. Which would make sense.
It would.
And there's just this one where it's like, it's just an image of like Jasper and it's at the party for Bella in the second book. But it's like the second movie because, you know, and she says like, that's Jasper's happy wig. And I fucking died. Jasper's fucking happy wig.
There is that one meme that makes its rounds every couple months for me where it's the whole entire part about Stephanie Meyer thinking that khakis are the sexiest thing that you could put Edward in.
And that jorts are the most threatening thing you could put the werewolves in.
Yes.
Jorts.
God. Those are two things that are neither sexy nor threatening.
Khakis are like, welcome to the Genius Bar / welcome to Target.
I know, and of course Nate likes to wear them, so it reminds me of that all the time, and I'm just like, ah yes, khakis.
God.
And I'm like, could you just wear some other type of pants? They're just not doing it
for me. No, I have to wear khakis. It's brown.
My life is brown.
God. It took every ounce of my concentration to make it down the icy brick driveway alive. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
I almost lost my balance when I finally got to the truck. Okay, I'm someone who has like decent enough balance, and sometimes I still have issues when it's like super icy.
Because you just don't know.
It's
you really don't know where the slick spot is going to be.
Well, the thing is, like, well, yeah, ice has no friction to it. Like, sometimes, yes, there can be some friction because of, like, bumps and shit. But sometimes it can just be smooth and frictionless. And it makes it difficult to just God walk on it.
Forbid you're on, like, an incline or a decline. Like, you're just fucked.
You just have to brace yourself. Like, you have to lock everything and then balance.
Because you're going to get no traction on either the incline or the decline. You're just fucked either way.
Yeah. You just got to be loose and tight all at the same time.
Yeah. And it's probably going to hurt no matter which way you do it.
Oh, so. Yes. Almost lost my balance when I finally got to the truck, but I managed to cling to the side mirror and saved myself. I'm surprised.
You're probably going to rip your mirror off doing that.
I'm surprised the mirror is still there. Clearly, today was going to be nightmarish. Driving
because
to school.
You flipped on the ice? That's just a regular ass Tuesday in Minnesota.
Yeah, but she's lived in Arizona her whole life.
Babies.
Driving to school, I distracted myself from my fear of falling in my unwanted speculations about Edward Cullen by thinking about Mike and Eric and them making out.
You probably shouldn't, like, not be concentrating on the route if it's everything's froze over.
She should
not
be, like,
not be concentrating on the road.
Yeah, no, she should be concentrating on the road if there's, like, even a slight dusting of ice. Obviously, the plows haven't come by to salt things up yet.
And especially driving a truck, like,
yeah.
I've never driven my dad's truck, like, in the winter, but I would probably cry because nobody likes being in your car when you go sliding.
Oh, yeah.
You know, now you're going to be in a truck.
Oh, yeah. But we know a thing around that. By thinking of, and the obvious difference in how teenage boys responded to me here, I was sure I looked exactly the same as I had in Phoenix. Maybe it was just the boys back home had watched me pass slowly through all the awkward phases of adolescence and still thought of me that way. Perhaps it was because I was a novelty here, where novelties were few and far between. Possibly my crippling clumsiness was seen as endearing rather than pathetic, casting me as a damsel in distress. Whatever the reason, Mike's puppy dog behavior and Eric's apparent rivalry with him were disconcerting. I wasn't sure if I didn't prefer being ignored. Maybe you're just their type.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe like the people, like I don't want to say this about a teenager. I know Bella's a teenager and then she eventually becomes forever 18. But I don't want to say this, but Bella, maybe they didn't like you because they know they've known you since your awkward phase, but they also know how insufferable you are because you try to be the I'm not like other girls girl.
Yeah, mostly that.
Yeah.
I never dated anyone from my high school either. I mean, I did. Just one person, but it was like right at the end. And I haven't dated anyone from my high school since.
My truck seemed to have no problem with the black ice that covered the roads.
Really? I'm just
Black.
sighing, and I literally wrecked my SUV on black ice.
The thing is, black ice doesn't necessarily cover an entire road.
No, the entire reason that it's referred to as black ice is because you can't see it, like, on the actual roadway.
It's, like, specifically, like, isn't it, like, because of the exhaust coming out of the tailpipes of cars or whatever, it slightly warms up the ice underneath it?
Yeah.
And then when the car moves away, it freezes again, thus creating the black ice.
Yeah, and it's really hard to see on the roadway, even in, like, perfect daylight.
Yeah, and gosh, I think in high school I knew someone whose father, like, died in an accident related to black ice.
Yeah, it is definitely not something to be trifled with, Stephanie Meyer. Because I literally just said I wrecked my SUV on black ice, and I've been driving in this state since I got my driver's license like 10 years ago. My
Yeah.
dad's a plow truck driver, and
Yeah.
I still wrecked myself on black ice.
Yep. So it just makes me think that she doesn't really know what black ice is. So, like, the author there by Bella, because Bella is the author insert, basically. So,
yeah.
I mean, if
she's not paying attention to the road, even when you are paying attention to the road, you can't tell if there's black ice.
Also, it's the early morning. Wouldn't she be paying extra close attention because, like, she'd still be a little bit tired?
That, obviously, when everybody wakes up here in Minnesota, like, you're probably expecting to go slow.
Yeah.
You know, just because, and like you said, everything, the plows probably haven't been out. In Minnesota, they probably would be, but it would still be, you know, pretty slick because,
yeah,
they would have only been out for a little bit. And I remember, you know, like, my dad staying at work overnight if there was going to be a a huge snowstorm and they would just continuously plow and salt in Ramsey County.
I mean, I was going to say with, like, in general, usually they plow the main streets first.
Yeah, they
keep and then they it. Do residentials later.
They do residentials later, but if it's like a busy area that's also kind of considered residential, obviously, like, the highway crews and the county crews are two totally different entities.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, you know, it's the main roads, not highways, are only as good as the county that you're in.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know up here where I live, like, we're always just trekking through snow. Yeah, Bean.
Also, I'm still just going with Bella as an unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
What?
She just sucks.
Something silver caught my eye and I walked to the back of the truck, carefully holding the side for support to examine my tires. There were thin chains crisscrossed in diamond shapes around them. Charlie had gotten up who knows how early to put snow chains on my truck.
What my the throat... fuck are those?
You don't know what snow chains are?
No!
They, I have never had to put them on anything, but I do know, like, it's basically chains that you do put on your tires. It helps.
Wow.
It's, there, I don't know how you do it, but I know you can do it.
And but, like, without the car moving, you know? And without popping your tire.
I mean, you can get a, you if you have a jack at home, you could do it.
That's fair, yeah. And
he probably has a jack at home if he was able to do it.
Yeah, I've never seen these. And again, my dad's a plow truck driver.
I mean, this is one of, like, the easiest ways to help your car get traction, especially when it comes to, like, the ice on the roads. Yep. Yeah. My throat suddenly felt tight.
I don't think I've ever seen them.
Google here. Them.
Well, all right then.
They probably have, if I'm going to say anything, they probably use them more up north.
That would make way more sense.
And I'm going to assume that this method is probably also used in areas that don't experience a lot of snow.
Yeah, where it's not, like, a yearly occurrence.
Yeah. While it's, like, when I'm picturing it, I'm going to assume, like, northern Minnesota, North Dakota, Montana, northern Wisconsin, and all that, and anything that's, like, close to Canada, they probably use snow chains and all that on their tires, probably, unless they have, like, well, I wonder if they've, like, gotten to a point with tires where, some don't need it. Probably, maybe.
I mean, that's why you see so many people in the north that have, you know, like, trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Because they need to get around.
Oh, yeah.
And a truck both has the power. You can obviously get the four-wheel drive. So
it has the leverage, so you're not, like, just plow. You know, here's the funny thing. That Golf that I had, it was short, but it could still get right through that snow.
You know, it really depends on what angle I'm hitting the snowbank at with my current car. But I've learned that the car is light enough where if I just start, like, jerking back and forth, I can get myself unstuck. Does it look ridiculous as shit? Yeah, but, you know, it's Minnesota. Everybody's just kind of used to it at this point.
Everyone looks fucking ridiculous, but no one gives a shit.
Which, you know, also really throws a wrench into everybody who thinks that, you know, it would just be really great to have public transport everywhere, especially up here. And the farther north you get, the deeper the snow gets. It's been pretty deep up here.
And I mean, yeah, it does get pretty deep up there. And the thing is, like, the one main thing, well, yeah, no, even with like enough snow, it could delay trains and all that.
Well, how are you gonna plow the track? You could get heated tracks, but then as soon as you turn it off and it's cold enough, then it's just gonna freeze.
I know, that's what I was thinking, like heated tracks, but it's like they probably would do something that would like, it would be like a generating heat sort of thing where it wouldn't be like
But
a
then
turn.
could you generate it if you're again way up north and
I
you're
was gonna say
getting.
more like a self-generating thing or something.
Yeah, but you know, if it. And I'm talking about like the areas up by, you know, the Great Lakes where
Yeah,
it,
like Bemidji, Itasca.
their average snowfall is 78 inches a year.
Oh yeah, no, it.
That's a lot.
Even down here in the city, like if it's enough snow, it can delay the buses as well.
Yeah.
And this is when I still took public transport to get to and from work when I worked at the Midtown Global Market. As I was getting on to like my last leg, because I had to do like two buses, I had to take a transfer. As I was getting on to like one of my last buses, there was this older woman that had slipped on like some slippery, like it was like a mixture of ice and snow.
Yeah.
Because the sidewalks weren't plowed.
And
And
it's hard to plow sidewalks because people, you know, that it's a, definitely a safety issue.
The thing is, though, it is the city's responsibility to
It
do
it's a
that.
safety issue either way, because if you're, you know, plowing snow and ice like with a snow blower and it flies out and hits somebody,
But I
that's,
do,
yeah,
on the
that's
Nicollet
why.
Mall, they do have heated sidewalks, though.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Wait.
But what I was
But
going
that's
with
also
the.
very expensive.
Yeah, they remodeled the shit out of that area, so yeah.
That's really expensive and generally not a thing that, you know, most people or businesses or even cities could afford.
Well,
Plus, do we really need any more construction?
that's why Nicollet was under construction for so long in the first place. And the thing is, we do have enough, like, foot traffic down there because we do have enough businesses down there. Like there are a few, well, we have like the Wells Fargo building down there, and then there are like a number of shops that are down there, and then we have a lot of office buildings that are down there as well.
It's those
And
weird
it's
people who think we need to have public transport everywhere, and then I'm like, you're gonna get up to the Boundary Waters and have snow almost as deep as the fucking bus.
well, and the
It's
thing
not
is, like,
happening.
well, and the thing is, that's why we have coach buses.
Even then, they're a little bit too low to the ground. Yeah, they have the power to blast through it, but I really don't think anyone's blasting through, you know, 78 inches of snow.
Well, no, what I mean with, like, there are still ways to get to and from places. It's just not as convenient as what people would want. Like, with a coach bus, you can, yes, you have to pay X amount to get from point A to point B, and it'll still take like about what, 8 hours more than likely, because there are stops in between.
Yeah.
But that's still a way without having to like waste a massive amounts of fossil fuels on just one car. But you're still wasting fossil fuels on the big ass bus.
The amount of land mass in North America is just not you know, where it's not doable, like, you know, a full system completely eliminating.
If we replaced trains with bullet trains, maybe.
Shake it off, potato.
Maybe. But on with the story. I wasn't used to being taken care of, and Charlie's unspoken concern caught me by surprise. Because I was not used to being the child in the child-parent relationship. Ouch. Because I was parent, because I was paternalized at a very, very young age by my own mother. Because she did not know how to do basic billing. She did not know how to pay for our bills, and she did not know the cost of a dollar.
Hi, potato.
I was standing by the back corner of the truck, struggling to fight back the sudden wave of emotion. Because I'm not like other girls where I don't cry. The snow chains had brought on when I heard an odd sound. It was a high-pitched screech. And it was fast, becoming painfully loud. I thought it was Jessica for a second. I looked up, startled. I saw several things simultaneously. Nothing was moving in slow motion, the way it does in the movies. Instead, the adrenaline rush seemed to make my brain work much faster, and I was able to absorb in clear detail several things at once, which no one said ever.
I mean, yeah, if you get hypnotized, you'll remember it all, but, like...
Here's the thing. I've experienced enough, like...
Oh, nothing, my goodness, potato.
Nothing like this, but I've experienced enough, like... fast shit where it's like I can only remember like 1, 2, 3 details maybe at most, because that's how the human brain works. When you're on adrenaline, you
don't knock my phone off the bed.
I don't know, it's like when you're on adrenaline you don't remember that much.
No, it's more like consciously you don't remember that much, but if you were to tap into your unconscious, you'd remember more.
But it's like when the adrenaline is like pumping, it's like your brain is going all over the place a mile a minute and you can't focus on anything.
Yeah.
Edward Cullen was standing 4 cars down from me, staring at me in horror. His face stood out from a sea of faces all frozen in the same mask of shock. I almost said musk. But of more immediate importance was the dark blue van that was skidding, tires locked and squealing against the brakes, spinning wildly across the ice of the parking lot. Someone wasn't going 5 miles an hour.
Ah, right.
It was going to hit the back corner of my truck, and I was standing between them. I didn't even have time to close my eyes. Or should I say me eyes?
Me eyes!
Just before I heard the shattering crunch of the van folding around the truck bed, something hit me hard. But not from the direction I was expecting. Me head cracked against the icy blacktop, and I felt something solid and cold pinning me to the ground. I was lying on the pavement behind the tan car I had parked next to. But I didn't have a chance to notice anything else because the van was still coming. It had curled gratingly around the end of the truck and still spinning and sliding. Was about to collide with me again. Edward, you suck at saving people. A low oath made me aware. Oath?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Like an oath that you keep?
An oath that you take.
Okay. Made me aware that someone was with me. And the voice was impossible not to recognize. 2 long white hands shot out protectively in front of me, and the van shuddered to stop a foot from me face. The large hands fitting providentially into a deep dent in the side of the van's body. You use this word, but you use the word aloneness just a few pages ago. Fuck me.
I'm mad about it.
Then his hands moved so fast they blurred as he masturbated furiously.
Into the peanut butter.
Yep. Into the peanut butter jar, just doing it around the car as a victory lap. One was suddenly gripping the body of the van, and something was dragging me, swinging my legs around like a rag doll.
And he grabbed her by the leg.
Grabbed her by the leg. She hit her head
and, like,
against
the swung her bed. Around.
He just whipped her back and forth.
Like his hair.
Yep. Till they hit the tire of the tan car. A groaning metallic thud hurt my ears, and the van settled, glass popping into the asphalt exactly where a second ago my legs had been. It was absolutely silent for one long second before the screaming began, and the abrupt
screaming. Same.
Yeah. And the abrupt bedlam, I could hear more than one person shouting my name. But more clearly than all the yelling, I could hear Edward Cullen's low, frantic voice in my ear. Bella, are you all right? I'm fine. My voice sounded strange. I tried to sit up and realized he was holding me against the side of his body in an iron grasp. Be careful, he warned as I struggled. I think you hit your head pretty hard. Yeah, because you basically grabbed her leg and threw her around like a rag doll.
I mean, she hit the ground first.
That's true, but also he lifted her leg
and threw her around like a rag doll.
I became aware of a throbbing ache centered above my left ear. Ow, I said, surprised.
Surprised.
That's what I thought. His voice amazingly sounded like he was suppressing laughter. This,
time to infantilize her about getting injured.
I trailed off trying to clear my head. Getting my bearings. How did you get over here so fast? I was standing right next to you, Bella, he said, his tone serious again. Let's see, what is he doing?
He's gaslighting,
girl bossing, and gatekeeping.
Yep.
Yeah. Or it goes like gaslight, girl boss. No. Gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. I turned to sit up, and this time he let me, releasing his hold around me waist and sliding as far from me as he could in the limited space. I looked at his concerned, innocent expression and was disoriented again by the force of his gold-colored eyes.
Yeah, first thing you think about.
What was I asking him? And then they found us, a crowd of people with tears streaming down their feces, shouting at each other, shouting at us. Don't move, someone instructed. Get Tyler out of the van, someone else shouted. There was a flurry of activity around us. I tried to get up, but Edward's cold hand pushed my shoulder down. Just stay put for now. But it's cold, I complained. It surprised me when he chuckled under his breath. Yeah. Infantilizing her being cold.
Yeah.
There was an edge to the sound. You were over there, I suddenly remembered, and his chuckle stopped short. You were by your car. His expression turned hard. No, I wasn't. I saw you. All around us was chaos. I could hear the gruffer voices of adults arriving on the scene, but I substantially held on to our argument. I was right, and he was going to admit it. Bella, I was standing with you. God, why can't you just, like, admit that I'm right or something? Whatever. I was standing right next to you. How can you, like, deny that I was right there as soon as you, like, parked your car? I came running over here to greet you. How can you be I can't even think of the word. Can't you put my feelings into perspective? God. Bella. And I pulled you out of the way. He unleashed the full, devastating power of his eyes on me, as if trying to communicate something crucial. No, I set my jaw. The gold in his eyes blazed. Please, Bella. Why? I demanded.
Yeah, now she's just communicating like a child. But to be fair, I'm just as annoying.
I have to take a giant shit. He pleaded, his soft voice overwhelming. I could hear the sirens now. Will you promise to explain everything to me later? Fine, he snapped, abruptly exasperated. Fine, I repeated angrily. It took 6 EMTs and 2 teachers, Mr. Varner and Coach Clapp, oh god, that is an unfortunate name.
Yeah, sure is.
To shift the van far enough away from us to bring the stretchers in. Edward vehemently refused his, and I tried to do the same. But the traitor told them I'd hit my head and probably had a concussion.
Bella.
How is he a traitor?
All right. He's just not going to tell the EMTs that you hit your fucking head on concrete.
You know what? They still have to check you out regardless.
They do, because it was a motor vehicle thing.
And technically, Edward should let them check him out, too.
Yeah, technically.
Technically. And probably had a concussion. I almost died of humiliation when they put on the neck brace. It looked like the entire school was there, watching soberly as they... Would somberly be...
No, I mean, soberly works. It's just a weird one.
Yeah. As they loaded me in the back of the ambulance. You know, it's almost like that one thing that they make you watch or participate in your senior year, where it's like the fake car crash. Mm-hmm. Yeah, except this was a real one. Edward got to ride in the front. It was maddening. He called shot.
You don't get to ride in the front
Edward of the ambulance. He called shotgun, okay?
And they were just like, yeah, that's fine. We don't have to live by the regular rules here.
Yeah, because you're Dr. Cullen's son and you called shotgun, so by law, we have to let you sit here.
And it just kicks out the other EMT in the front seat.
The other EMT just sits in the back.
Yes, well, makes I mean...
Awkward conversation.
Yeah, it's weird.
To make matters worse, Chief Swan arrived before they could get me safely away. Bella, he yelled in panic when he recognized me on the stretcher. He is the sheriff, so like, he's a first responder.
Bella.
I'm completely fine, Dad, I sighed. There's nothing wrong with me.
Lies. There's a lot wrong with you. Oh,
you gotta let, you know, people who say they have a concussion usually don't know that they have one.
Yeah.
He turned to the closest EMT for a second opinion. I tuned him out to consider the jumble of inexplicable images turning chaotically in my head.
It's a lot of words.
Oh, yes. That is a ton of fucking words. And I hate that it's a ton of fucking words. When they'd lifted me away from the car, I had seen the deep dent in the tan car's bumper, a very distinct dent that fit the contours of Edward's shoulders, as if he had braced himself against the car with enough force to damage the metal frame. Wow, you sure remember a lot.
All right.
And then there was his family looking on from the distance, with expressions that ranged from disapproval to fury, but held no hint of concern for their brother's safety.
Emmett was just thinking about eggs.
Yep, those 12 dozen eggs. Jasper looked like he had to take a shit. Rose was obviously the really angry one.
That's just her face.
I mean, yeah, she kind of has resting bitch face, but that's just Rose.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold it against her.
No.
Alice is just... standing there being Alice. P-p-p-p-p. tried to think of a logical solution that could explain what I had just seen, a solution that excluded the assumption that I was insane. Naturally, the ambulance got a police escort to the county hospital.
I mean, it'll already have sirens on, Bella. You fucking idiot.
Yeah. Again, this is a unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
I felt ridiculous the whole time they were unloading me. What made it worse was that Edward simply glided through the hospital doors under his own power. I ground my teeth together. They put me in the emergency room, a long room with a line of beds separated by pastel pattern curtains. A nurse put a pressure cuff on my arm and a thermometer under my tongue. Since no one bothered pulling the curtain around to give me some privacy, I decided I wasn't obligated to wear the stupid-looking neck brace anymore.
Yes, you are.
You wear it until they take it off of you, and wouldn't they wouldn't be doing, like, the tongue thermometer. They'd be using, like, the ear one or something, unless they only had tongue thermometers or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not too sure myself.
Or they'd put it under your armpit. When the nurse walked away, I quickly unfastened the Velcro and threw it under the bed. There was another flurry of hospital personnel. Another stretcher brought to the bed next to me. I recognized Tyler Crowley from my government class beneath the bloodstained bandages wrapped tightly around his head. Tyler looked 100 times worse than I felt, but he was staring anxiously at me. Popcorn Saya.
Bella, I'm so sorry. I'm fine, Tyler. You look awful. Are you all right? As we spoke, nurses began unwinding his soiled bandages, exposing a myriad of shallow slices all along his forehead and left cheek. He ignored me. I thought I was going to kill you. I was going too fast, and I hit the ice wrong. Dot, 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 dot. He winced as one nurse started dabbing at his face.
Shouldn't they be trying to extract glass if there's glass in his face?
Yeah, they should.
You'd think that there'd be glass.
I mean, the thing about it is that, like, since nothing that was glass would have been in the immediate vicinity of the impact, the glass probably wouldn't have shattered.
True. Also, shouldn't his neck be in a stretcher? Like, in a thing? Because wouldn't
the airbags have gone off? Maybe. It really depends.
I'm going to assume, like, at, like, the speed that he was going and then the fact that he hit Edward.
With a lot of the older model vans, a side impact would not deploy the airbags.
True.
Because side airbags weren't really a thing until, like, maybe I was in fifth or sixth grade.
This is true.
Like, also, mainstream side airbags.
Okay, also we should start a new one.
Yes. Okay, there we go.
All right.
But yeah, what I was saying is that side airbags in vans, like, weren't mainstream for a while. So, you know, if this is an older model van, it was, like, you know, my grandparents' Ford Windstar van that they had for, like, ever. You know, like, way into my high school years, never had side airbags, and I think they got that when I was, like, I don't know, in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't a very mainstream feature, even on, you know, like, new cars at the time.
True, true.
Don't worry about it. You missed me. How did you get out of the way so fast? You were there, and then you were gone. Dot, dot, dot. Edward pulled me out of the way. He looked confused. Who? Edward Cullen, he was standing next to me. I don't think that's convincing at all. And dot. Wow. It was also fast, I guess. Is he okay? That's very true. You probably wouldn't notice a lot of things as the driver.
Yeah, he's honestly, yeah, no, Tyler's acting more normal than Bella.
I think so. He's here somewhere, but they didn't make him use a stretcher. I knew I wasn't crazy. Yes, you are, Bella. Everybody's crazy.
Yep.
What had happened? There was no way to explain away what I'd seen. They wheeled me away, then to x-ray my head. I told them there was nothing wrong, and I was right. Do they x-ray you for a concussion? I don't think they do.
They'd have to CT scan you.
That, or, you know, they'd shine the flashlight in your eyes.
Yeah.
There's, you know, like, field tests for this.
Yeah, they would do, like, the eye test thing, and I don't know the exact ways of doing it, but there are ways to do it without having to do something like a CT scan.
Yeah, you only get one if it's, you know, concerning, or you're not reacting, even though you should be.
And they'd only x-ray her if they thought she cracked her skull really bad.
Yeah, but there would be, like, some very massive indications that you've had a skull fracture.
Which they would have insisted that she keep the fucking, what's it called?
The neck brace.
The neck brace on.
Well, I mean, you know, if you hit your head hard enough, that specific of an angle, you know, it's like you're... brain stem or your spinal cord can become separated from your brain stem and internally decapitate you. That's why they put that on.
This is true.
Or, you know, they put that on so you don't move or thrash and paralyze yourself or something. Things Saya knows.
Yes.
Not even a concussion. I feel like that's a fucking lie. I asked if I could leave, but the nurse said I had to talk to a doctor first. So I was trapped in the ER, waiting, harassed by Tyler's constant apologies and promises to make it up to me. No matter how many times I tried to convince him I was fine, he continued to torment himself. Finally, I closed my eyes and ignored him. He kept up a remorseful mumbling. Is she sleeping? A musical voice asked. My eyes flew open. Edward was standing at the foot of the bed, smirking.
Why is his voice musical?
Right? Stop staring. I glared at him. It wasn't easy. It would have been more natural to ogle. Oh, God. She does have a concussion. Hey, Edward, I'm really sorry, Tyler began. Edward lifted a hand to stop him. No blood, no foul, he said, flashing his brilliant teeth. He moved to sit on the edge of Tyler's bed, facing me. He smirked again. So what's the verdict, he asked me. There's nothing wrong with me at all, but they won't let me go, I complained. How come you aren't strapped to a gurney like the rest of us? It's all about who you know, he answered. But don't worry, I came to spring you. Wow, thanks, Edward, even though you can't really do that. Then a doctor came around the corner and my mouth fell open. He was young, he was blonde, and he was handsomer than any movie star I'd ever seen.
Oh my
he
God,
was pale, though, and tired-looking. With circles under his eyes. From Charlie's description, this had to be Edward's father.
Oh my, Charlie, you described him enough for your own daughter to recognize him? How much of a crush do you have on him?
It's okay. We understand it.
This is understandable, Charlie.
So, Miss Swan, Dr. Cullen said in a remarkably appealing voice, how are you feeling? I'm fine, I said for the last time, I hoped. He walked to the light board on the wall over my head and turned it on. Your x-rays look good, he said. Does your head hurt? Edward said you hit it pretty hard. It's fine, I repeated with a sigh, throwing a quick scowl toward Edward. The doctor's cool fingers probed lightly along my skull. He noticed when I winced. Tender, he asked. Not really. I'd had worse. She's had worse?
Worse than this?
Worse than smacking your head on the concrete. I
Renee?
Have concerns.
Renee! What the fuck? What the fuck? Oh, God.
I heard a chuckle and looked over to see Edward's patronizing smile. My eyes narrowed. Well, your father is in the waiting room. You can go home with him now, but come back if you feel dizzy or have trouble with your eyesight at all. Can't I go back to school? I asked, imagining Charlie trying to be attentive. Maybe you should take it easy today. I glanced at Edward. Does he get to go to school? Someone has to spread the good news that we survived, Edward said smugly. Actually, Dr. Cullen corrected, most of the school seems to be in the waiting room.
Ugh. Damn.
Nobody cares.
That must be a crowded waiting room.
Oh no, I moaned, covering my face with my hands. Dr. Cullen raised his eyebrows. Do you want to stay? No, no, I insisted, throwing my legs over the side of the bed and hopping down quickly. Too quickly. I staggered and Dr. Cullen caught me. He looked concerned. I'm fine, I assured him. No need to tell him. My balance problems had nothing to do with hitting my head. Take some Tylenol for the pain, he suggested as he steadied me. It doesn't hurt that bad, I insisted. It sounds like you were extremely lucky, Dr. Cullen said, smiling as he signed my chart with a flourish. Lucky Edward happened to be standing next to me, I amended with a hard glance at the subject of my statement. Oh, well, yes, Dr. Cullen agreed, suddenly occupied with the papers in front of him. He is a doctor, after all. Then he looked away at Tyler and walked to the next bed. My intuition flickered. The doctor was in on it.
Ah!
I'm afraid that you'll have to stay with us just a little bit longer, he said to Tyler and began checking his cuts. As soon as the doctor's back was turned, I moved to Edward's side. Can I talk to you for a minute? I hissed under my breath. He took a step back from me, his jaw suddenly clenched.
She hissed like a literal snake.
Yeah. Can I speak to you for a second? That's my imitation of a snake.
Yes.
I glanced at Dr. Cullen and Tyler. I'd like to speak with you alone if you don't mind, I pressed. He glared and then turned his back and strode down the long hall. I nearly had to run to keep up. As soon as we turned the corner into a short hallway, he spun around to face me. What do you want? He asked, sounding annoyed. His eyes were cold. His unfriendliness intimidated me. My words came out with less severity than I'd intended. You owe me an explanation, I reminded him. I saved your life. I don't owe you anything, rude. I flinched back from the resentment in his voice. You promised. Bella, you hit your head. You don't know what you're talking about. His tone was cutting. My temper flared now and I glared defiantly at him. There's nothing wrong with my head. He glared back. What do you want from me, Bella? I want to know the truth, I said. I want to know why I'm lying for you. Lying for him? Question mark. What do you think happened? He snapped. It all came out.
Shat all over the place, Edward.
Yeah. It was really embarrassing.
It was really gross.
It all came out in a rush. All I know is that you weren't anywhere near me. Tyler didn't see you either, so don't tell me I hit my head too hard. The van was going to crush us both, and it didn't, and your hands left dents in the side of it. And you left a dent in the other car, and you're not hurt at all. And the van should have smashed my legs, but you were holding it up. I could hear how crazy it sounded, and I couldn't continue. I was so mad I could feel the tears coming. I tried to force them back by grinding my teeth together. He was staring at me incredulously, but his face was tense, defensive. You think I lifted a van off of you? His tone questioned my sanity, but it only made me more suspicious. It was like a perfectly delivered line by a skilled actor. I merely nodded once, jaw tight. Nobody will believe that, you know. His voice held an edge of derision now. I'm not going to tell anybody, I said, each word slowly, carefully controlling my anger. Surprise flitted across his face. Then why does it matter? It matters to me, I insisted. I don't like to lie, so there'd better be a good reason why I'm doing it. Can't you just thank me and get over it? Thank you, I waited, fuming and expectant. You're not going to let this go, are you? No. In that case, I hope you enjoy disappointment. Solid. Solid comeback.
Enjoy your disappointment. I hope you like it with a side dish of resentment.
We scowled at each other in silence. I was the first to speak, trying to keep myself focused. I don't know why, but this sounds like, you know, a scuffle between my cats.
It kind of does. It really does. This feels like this does feel like a scuffle between cats. They're just cats.
But like, you know, one where they're not fighting and like actually mad at each other, but you know, they're being grouches.
They're grumbling.
Yes.
It's like Nim anytime like Eddie or Booker is doing something she doesn't like.
She's just a grumbler.
I love Nim, but honestly, she's kind of a bitch sometimes, okay? It's like she's a world-class snuggler. And I love her, but she's kind of a bitch to everyone but me.
I mean, you know, I feel like that's what some people think about me, so.
You're not wrong.
I mean, at least when I'm being a bitch to you, it's most likely a joke.
Yeah, we're joking around at that point.
You've been on the receiving end of me being a bitch to other people because I'm telling you about the situation.
Oh, yes.
And usually, you know, you're just about ready to jump in the circle and throw hands with me. So, you know, it's not like I'm being just a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I was in danger of being distracted by his livid, glorious face. It was like trying to stare down a destroying angel. Why did you even bother? I asked frigidly. He paused, and for a brief moment, his stunning face was unexpectedly vulnerable. I don't know, he whispered. And then he turned his back on me and walked away. I was so angry, it took me a few minutes until I could move. When I could walk, I made my way slowly to the exit at the end of the hallway. The waiting room was more unpleasant than I'd feared. It seemed like every face I knew in Forks was there, staring at me.
All around me are familiar faces.
Charlie rushed to my side. I put up my hands. There's nothing wrong with me, I assured him. Sullenly, I was still aggravated, not in the mood for chit-chat.
Unhappy. Don't want grumpy. Man, she is a fucking cat.
I know.
Dear Lord.
What did the doctor say? Dr. Cullen saw me, and he said I was fine, and I could go home. I sighed.
He just said I have a case of the cats.
Yeah. But that's definitely how I communicated as a teenager, so that one actually makes sense to me. Oh, yeah. I was just like, I didn't want, like, my parents or my grandparents to care about me, and I would definitely be that way.
Eeny, weeny, teeny, weeny, shriveled, short dick man. Don't want.
I'll be like, I'm fine.
God, can't you just leave me alone for once? Blasts Panic at the Disco.
Mike and Jessica and Eric were all there, beginning to converge on us. Let's go, I urged. Charlie put one arm behind my back, not quite touching me, and led me to the glass doors of the exit. I waved sheepishly at my friends, hoping to convey that they didn't need to worry anymore.
Bullshit! She'd be wheeled out to her car!
If you can walk, you're allowed to walk out.
I'd still say they'd wheel her out to her car because she fucking fell and hit her head, and she is a known klutz.
That's very true.
She is a known klutz. I feel like Charlie would have insisted, no, you are sitting in there until we get to the car.
I mean, nothing can be worse, though, than when I had all my teeth removed and they didn't give me a wheelchair and I was not coming out of my anesthesia well, and, like, both my parents had to get me out of this dentist's office and I just couldn't walk. I couldn't see.
Oh, my God. I'm just imagining that.
Oh, God. It was rough, bro. It was fucking rough.
Why am I just picturing it like luring a cat out? Like,
I mean, my dad had to be most of the muscle while my mom was the remainder, and obviously my mom's pretty.
Yeah.
But like, how unable I was to even like see in a straight line.
Oh my God.
Like, this just wasn't me being a klutz. Like, I was literally just not coming out of my anesthesia well at all.
Oh, that sounds awful.
And I was not feeling well. And yeah, they didn't give me a wheelchair. They were just like, yeah, she can walk, right?
That's major ass.
So as someone who's faced, like, the complete opposite side of the spectrum on this.
Oh my God.
I did get a wheelchair when they let me go after my appendectomy, but that's also because I had to go across, like, the whole entire hospital.
You also had your stomach cut open.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah, and then they rearranged your guts wrong. Not in the
yeah, they did.
Way.
Yeah. You know, it's a really interesting conversation to be like, yeah, my guts were automatically rearranged wrong. Yeah. I don't think there is any man in the universe who could fuck it up worse than they did.
Who knows? Maybe just the right dick can come along and just put it back together.
I would be impressed, in all honesty.
That would be fucking impressive.
I'd be like, wow, that put it right back where it needed to go.
That put a whole new meaning to rearranging your guts.
Yeah. I mean, both ways it did.
I mean, yeah.
It was a huge relief. The first time I'd ever felt that way, to get into the cruiser. We drove in silence. I was so wrapped up in my thoughts that I barely knew Charlie was there. I was positive that Edward's defensive behavior in the hall was a confirmation of the bizarre things I still could hardly believe I'd witnessed. When we got to the house, Charlie finally spoke. You'll need to call Renee. He hung his head, guilty. I was appalled. You told Mom? I think he'd be a really shitty parent if he didn't tell the other parents.
Yeah.
Even if Renee is, you know, a worrier.
Even if Renee is kind of, like, the worst.
Sorry. I slammed the cruiser's door a little harder than necessary on my way out. My mom was in hysterics, of course. I had to tell her I felt fine at least 30 times before she would calm down. I feel like that's just any parent.
That's true.
Unless, you know, you're my mom, who's a nurse.
That's also true.
That's different.
Or my mom, who's just had training to be, like, first responder.
She begged me to come home, forgetting the fact that home was empty at the moment, but her pleas were easier to resist than I would have thought. I was consumed by the mystery Edward presented, and more than a little obsessed by Edward himself. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I wasn't as eager to escape Forks as I should be, as any normal, sane person would be.
You know, some people don't mind a small town life.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna like, so there's this one book I'm reading right now called All Good People Here, and there's like two characters in there. They end up together because one of them gets pregnant by the other, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But the guy, his family runs like this big grain processing plant in town. And he's, like, the sole heir to it because his parents are dead. His, like, grandfather's dead. His grandmother's dead. So it's kind of, like, it's all his, because he's, like, he's 18. He recently graduated. The whole business is his now. And he's, like, worked in it his whole life. So it's, like, he can't really, it's, like, he could leave. But it's, like, he can't really leave because he has a business to run. So it's, like, living in the small town is his only option. While the other character, she lives she lives in a trailer. She's lived the life of where literally someone called her like trailer trash to her face and a teacher did nothing about it. And she wanted to basically leave that small town, go to New York and become a Rockette. Obviously that didn't happen. She ends up marrying this guy because he got her pregnant.
Well, goodness gracious.
Yep. It's a whole thing. It's a very interesting story.
Well, you know, this is actually why I even made that meme I sent you in our text chain about not liking Minneapolis.
No one cares.
It's more like everyone who is from the city gets so fucking pissed off about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't like Minneapolis before it became ridden with a bunch of crime.
Yeah.
But that's also because I just don't like being crowded. I don't like all the noise. Yeah. I hate driving over there. It's annoying. Oh,
yeah. I hate driving downtown.
I hate downtown Minneapolis just as much as I hate downtown St. Paul. If I can avoid both of them, I'm like, fuck that.
Downtown anywhere is like, I hate driving in any sort of like downtown area.
You know, as soon as you hit a certain point of the night in either place, it's not safe.
Oh yeah.
You know that from experience, but of course there's going to be all these people who need to come out of the woodwork and tell you it's not that bad, and it's like, well, have you walked around here by yourself when there's not an event?
Didn't we have a classmate who was held at gunpoint in downtown St. Paul?
Ooh, I know that.
I'm not going to say your name, but it's like we had a classmate in college who, like, she was in a car with, like, her cousin, and they were driving to the gym, and someone opened their car, like, someone, like, they were in the car, too. Their doors were opened, and then they were held at gunpoint to hand over their phones.
This was actually something, and I'm just going to say names because it's, you know, we're going to know who it is.
Don't say the names.
Don't say the name, but you're not going to know who I'm talking about.
I might be able to pick it up on context clues. Just don't say the names.
Well, it was one of our male classmates.
Okay.
Who is very easily able to defend himself.
Okay.
And he got robbed at gunpoint in, I think it was downtown Chicago.
Okay, I think I might know which one that is.
Yeah, so it's kind of just like, you know, it really doesn't matter who you are. And it's like, I might present an easier target than our classmate who is, you know, clearly way bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, you know, more of a crime of opportunity.
Oh, yeah. And, gosh. One guy, when I worked at the cage, one guy who was a photography major was robbed over at Lake Calhoun.
Yeah.
For one of the lenses he had.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, anyone who wants to be like, yo, Minneapolis is perfectly safe. Like, I don't even need to be in my master's level stats class right now to tell you how wrong you are.
I mean, I have a cousin who lives in North Minneapolis, and literally there's a house right across the street from her that has bars on the window.
And it's like, you know, I've never truly felt safe down there, especially by myself. It's always been a major contention of anxiety for me, when we were in school. And yeah. I graduated in 2016, for reference. We didn't hit being a high crime state until this year.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, a substantial amount of years in between for me to not truly feel comfortable being down there, regardless of what our current social and political climate is. I just don't like being down there.
Gosh, there's just been a lot. Well, it's like in any downtown city, in any place, you can experience a bunch of shit.
But everybody's just like, no, it's so vibrant and not even that bad. And it's like, okay, but do you leave your house or your apartment, you know, after it gets dark? Well, no. And it's like, okay, well, you do that then.
Yeah.
And you tell me how much you like it.
None of them had to stay downtown until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Or it'll be like, I've been down here, like, with my friends at the bars. And it's like, okay, well, you're in a big group of people.
You're not just walking down Hennepin Avenue, walking towards the train, like, to the light rail.
Yeah, you're not walking by yourself as a singular female. You know, you'd leave later than me because you worked. But, you know, there would be classes we had until like 8 p.m.
Yep.
The parking garage was empty. Does anybody think that that's a safe situation? Because it's really not.
Nope.
So it would be more, you know, like having to be aware of your surroundings and, you know, hope nobody's following you. But of course, you know, it would be so dead that you'd be able to tell.
Oh, yeah.
But still, that anxiety was there. In the sense of, like, did I truly feel safe? Absolutely not. Do I feel safer when I'm, like, you know, walking maybe somewhere out here where I am, or maybe more in a farther away area than any downtown areas? I definitely do.
I'd say it's like, yes, I'd feel slightly safer for different reasons, but I'd also be like, this is also like prime area where if a serial killer wanted to get me, this would be their chance.
Oh yeah, the skinwalker.
Specifically serial killer time. Because like this is how this is like when you're walking by yourself on a trail or something, like if a serial killer were around, this is where they do it, or if a serial rapist were around, this is where they do it. Serial whatever, doing something that they ought not to, this is where they do it.
The serial ought not to do something that
serial doing doers.
But yeah, that's my tiny rant about people who get mad at other people for disliking Minneapolis. I don't want to live there. I don't really want to go there unless I have to. If I can avoid it, I will.
Which is understandable.
And after leaving both our former places of employment, where I would leave at like 3 a.m. with nobody watching me and the gigantic homeless encampment right across the way.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely did not feel safe with that. And there was reason to not, because a multitude of our former coworkers were held at gunpoint.
Yeah. Also, can I just say this one weird thing?
Sure.
Okay, where I work currently now, where we had an alert for a homicide suspect who had been wandering around. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
I feel safer working in that area.
You know, that it's just a weird area for me, because obviously where this individual was found wandering around was very close to mine and Merck's old apartment.
It was the state fairgrounds.
Yep, which means he would have had to pass it.
I know, but it's like, what I was going to go on with that is, like, I feel safer working in that area because of the people who I work with, and the area, and the, like, the building I work in, the people I work with. Security is pretty on top of things. Excuse me. Yes, I've seen things. Yes, I know that there can be questionable people anywhere, but at the same time, I'm like, I trust the people I work with. Whenever I'm opening or closing, there's always someone there. If I'm doing a mid-shift, it's always like well lit enough where I don't feel scared.
And I think it was a little different, you know, because that's where Merck and I were living.
Yeah.
At the time where it was starting to become really unsafe for us there, as, you know, both what we do with our lives and film, you know, we didn't have any sort of further security in our place of residence than like a bolt lock.
Oh yeah.
You know, and most people can't tell, you know, what we have in our cases, but if somebody figured it out, it would have been really easy to like break in and
especially because you lived in like a sub-level apartment where the windows were like super easy to like get, like someone could have easily
like
smashed in a window just to get in.
Yeah, exactly.
That was like a concern I had for you guys living there.
And the weird thing about it is that the front door at the front of the building was never locked, even though it should have been.
Fun.
Yeah, so it was only the back that was locked, but then, you know, obviously all of our cars were out in the parking lot, and there was a bunch of that catalytic converter theft going around in that area, and it was just like, you know, neither me or Merc can afford to have this happen to our vehicles. So it was just becoming, you know, more of a safer choice to completely leave the area.
Yeah.
And that's never been an issue in that area. Just that extreme rise in illegal activity. But am I really surprised? No.
Anyway, we're almost done with the chapter.
We are. I decided I might as well go to bed early that night. Charlie continued to watch me anxiously, and it was getting on my nerves. I stopped on my way to grab 3 Tylenol from the bathroom. They did help, and as the pain eased, I drifted to sleep. That was the first night I dreamed of Edward Cullen.
He was a Chippendales dancer.
Ooh!
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 Ooh! But no, seriously, when it comes to other novels, there's a way that I can do a poll. Honestly, check the comment, like check the description, readers, if you have made it this far into it, for a potential poll, because I'm probably going to put in something about a next book, or like something about a book of sorts. And yes. Names and titles and things, because I do want to try giving a more like, oh, here's a popular book. And I guess in the terms of if we do Verity by Colleen Hoover or any other Colleen Hoover book, it's just going to be a trial of, is it good or not?
I mean, we can have our own qualms with the book, too, you know.
I know, but it's like, we should come up with certain preliminaries that, like, objectively mean that something is a good book. I know it's a subjective thing.
Yeah.
But there has to be, like, an objective thing where it's like, okay, this is technically a good book.
I think you and I are decently good at that.
So it's like, I feel like it has to deal with, like, is the plot clear enough? Is the character, like, we both know that, like, in a character-driven story, the character doesn't necessarily change. It's either the character changes everything, or everything changes the character.
Yeah, it's like, technically, we have the ability to discern, like, is it good technically versus do we like it personally?
Yeah. And then there's the whole, like, you know, the the character versus character, like person versus person, person versus nature, person versus society, person versus, you know what I'm saying?
Conflict.
And then the whole climax thing. The chart, which Empress Teresa has none of.
Oh, right. It's just all downhill from the start.
But we can still discern that it's the character changing everything.
Yes. And not in a good way.
No, in the worst way possible. It still makes me physically ill.
I know. I just am dreading picking it back up.
Oh, we have to finish it someday, Saya.
I know.
It's waiting.
I don't want to think about it.
She's breathing down your neck.
I know she is, with her weird face and her gross fingers.
With her creepy corpse fingers and corpse teeth. And her hair that somehow has sentience and is thick.
Yeah.
But also and full of water.
You can definitely smell it before you even see her.
It has like a weird, it's like, what is the smell to describe it? It's not a fishy smell. It's like a rotting stench.
It's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it.
Okay, do you know what it smells like when, like, there's enough plants in the area that are dead?
Yeah.
It's but that. Wet, yeah. Dead plant smell.
That are wet, because dry, dead plant smell has a different smell.
Yeah, but no, these are specifically slimy, stemmed, dead plants.
Yeah.
Yes. She has a shark bite on her left butt cheek. That is
Melvin would know that.
He doesn't. They haven't had... Look, how they have sex is through, like, a sheet with a hole in it. It's the only way. Even though she wore a little black dress.
A little black nothing.
A little black nothing dress. And that's... And then her cleavage charmed the crowd at her own wedding. Yeah, because everyone was looking at her breasts. At her wedding.
I sure hope not.
Including her father.
Oh.
Yep.
Including the priest.
Including the priest, which was Father Donaty. Yep. The sister wasn't even invited to the wedding because it was just like, she was just a total fuck off character, I guess.
Yeah, she can just go fuck herself.
Yeah, she's not important. She didn't go to college.
That we know of, but do we really trust Teresa?
No, she probably went to a community college, probably got... You know what? My headcanon for Teresa's sister, whose name I cannot remember, she went to a community college, then transferred to a bigger college and got her degree in teaching, and now she's a kindergarten teacher.
Like, what if she's just got her technical degree or something, you know?
That too.
Because everybody thinks that, like, technical trades don't offer anything to the world, and you have to have, like, your, you know, 4-year university degree.
You know what? Maybe she owns her own little woodworking business, and she makes, like, little woodworking crafts and furniture and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.